All right, everyone. I said that I wanted this to be sort of something that everybody can learn from, but more of an encompassing schmooze for someone who's a little bit older and working on themselves a little bit more, in a more mature fashion. So the idea is like this. I went to a bar mitzvah on Sunday night, and I was a bit out of my element. Be honest with everybody here, it was not exactly what I was used to. Lots of big Rosh Yeshiva from Tel's Yeshiva. Lots of Choshev Yungerman and people that dedicate their lives to Torah that, honestly, I only wish I was in awe of the people that were there. People that are literally giving their all to just sit and learn Torah all day long. And then one person walked in who was not a Rosh Yeshiva, not a Rav in Yeshiva somewhere. A little bit different, not a Rebbe, not a Kol Yungerman, not anything like that. Walked down, sat down at my table, and while a Rav was speaking, he was speaking really well, speaking about the tafkid of Esav in this world, which I guess is appropriate for a bar mitzvah. And as he was speaking, the guy said, with a little bit of a louder voice, he said to everyone at the table, "What hashkacha is this meal under?" That's what the person said. "What hashkacha is this meal under?" So I wanted to scream at him, "Dude, you have the Rosh Yeshiva of Tel's that are sitting right there. You have the Rosh Kollel of the Chicago Community Kollel that are sitting on the other side, and the Peterson Park Kollel on the other side. The father of the bar mitzvah boy is a very chashuv member of the Kollel in Chicago who would never think of serving something that was questionably kosher without putting up a sign that says to somebody, this might not be Yashan. Wouldn't even consider doing something like that, obviously. And a Rav is speaking right now. You don't have to start your eating right now. If you're so worried about what's happening with Ashkacha, you don't have to start eating right now while the Rav is speaking. You'll wait a little bit. You'll ask the question later on, and you'll deal with it later on. And this is what you're thinking to yourself as a Rav is giving a schmooze, as somebody's speaking. Your first issue is, what Ashkacha is it? What Ashkacha is going on? That's what you have? So I didn't say anything. I just gave him my angry and incredulous face. It's probably the same face that you've seen from me when I've been explaining something to you two or three times, and you still don't get it. It's the angry and incredulous, I wish I was Rebbe Prada face, but I can't be Rebbe Prada type of face that I give you. That's the same face that I gave over to this guy. Just like, how could you ask such a question? And I can tell you 100%, I was not going to talk to him for the rest of the meal. There was nothing that was going to happen between me and this guy for the rest of the meal. And I sat there and I thought about it. As soon as the Rav stopped speaking, sit next to a Rebbe from the yeshiva on one side, and I'm sitting there and I just sort of like spaced out for like 10 minutes. And I said, how in the world does a person get to that point? How does a person come to that point? This guy is, without a question, I think he meant it. He wasn't being a person who did it. He mamish wants to know what hashkacha it is, because if it wasn't a great hashkacha, he wouldn't eat from it. But what is he missing? What's my problem? What's the issue that I have with this? And how could I define it in words? How could I say, here's what the issue is, and here's what the problem is? What is it exactly? And I remembered it's from Ali Shore. The Rav Volbi speaks about this, and it's amazing. Now, we paskin lahalacha, mitzvos tzrichos kavana, that a mitzvah requires you to have kavana while doing so. It's in Shulchan Aruch Siman Samach. You can look it up yourself. It's a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. It says, yesh omrim that mitzvos don't need kavana. Yesh omrim that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. And then he goes out and he says, we paskin v'chein alacha mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Now, what that means is that lichatchila, anytime you say Shema, if you said Shema and you weren't thinking about what you were saying, you just said Shema in the morning or in the evening, you didn't think about it whatsoever, you just finished Shema, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, I don't think I had kavana to be yotzeh. Then there's a shaila, you may have to repeat your Shema. You may have to go over it and do it again. That's a possibility. That's a halacha, the Mishnah Berurah goes on a little bit. What should you do in that situation? You just said Shema, you know you weren't paying attention, what should you do? But that's already a shaila. What should you do in that situation? We hold Sveika Lechumra, which is a massive nafka. You know, what happens if you benched and you didn't have in mind for the kavana to be yotze, the mitzvah d'oraisa of benching? What should you do in that case? What happens by Shema? But lehalacha, lechatchila, a person should have kavana before he does anything. He should sit there and say, here's what I'm about to do, and not say it if you're in Shema. Think it. I am having kavana to be yotze. That's a din that everybody should be doing by every mitzvah. The Hasidim take that to the extreme. They have a l'shem yichud, kud shebrichu shchinte. They add on that to be able to make sure that it's truly l'kavana, that it's that kavana, that's what they're trying to do. But either way, regardless, the idea is to be able to do a mitzvah correctly, to do it in the right way. But we have to think a little bit further. every mitzvah is not only a mitzvah to do, that I have to have kavanah to do, but it's an opportunity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a gift to do a mitzvah. Now, by certain mitzvahs, that's obvious. If anybody remembers the mitzvah of Shichacha, there's no way to do Shichacha unless you have Siyata Deshmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Shichacha? You have a pile of, you have grain that you're supposed to reap, and obviously anything that you reap, if you drop anything, it's called leket. If you forget to reap something, that's called Shichacha. If you forget to go ahead and reap something, and it's behind you, you just forget it. That's called Shichacha. You cannot do Shichacha on purpose. It's impossible. There's no way to do it. You have to somehow forget that it happened. Forget that it was back there. That's the only way for Shichacha to happen. So in that sense, in order to do that, you need a tremendous schus. That's what you need. You need a schus to be able to do Shichacha. If anybody has been zocha to be able to do a mitzvah like pidyon haben or pidyon peter chamor, if you've owned a donkey and it gave birth to a baby boy, right? That's a huge schus. It's an unbelievable schus. I have not had the mitzvah of pidyon peter chamor. Yes, I definitely have not had. I haven't had the schus of doing pidyon haben, and I hope never to. I hope never to have that. But pidyon haben, I never had this list. My daughter was first. It's great for cleaning purposes, but it's terrible for pinning up Ben purposes. And that's that. I didn't get this list to get that mitzvah. That mitzvah was not under, I guess what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from me, it's not there. And therefore, I don't get it. Shiluach HaKan is ki yikro. If you happen upon a bird's nest that happens to be in a tree, then you can do Shiluach HaKan, Shiluach HaKain. You can do it then. I was so going to do Shiluach HaKan twice. Why? Because I saw somebody that had done it. I was jealous with Kinas Sofrim. I said, why does he get to do it? I want to do it. I dove into a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I said, I want to do Shiluach HaKan. And in Eretz Yisrael, a bird came that week and laid an egg in a nest outside of my window. I was mafker the window already, knowing that I would be sent this nest because I used to be holy. And I went ahead and I did Shiluach HaKan. And then when somebody told me later on that it's a skula for somebody to give birth to a child, I asked for it again, and I made the other person go ahead and do it. And that person did it, and 10 months later had a child. It's a tremendous schus. You don't just come up to Shiluach HaKan. It can't just happen. You can't set it up that way. You can't bring a bird, put it in your house, make it lay an egg, and then do Shiluach HaKan. That's not Shiluach HaKan. There are certain mitzvos that you can think of as being matanos, and the truth is, every mitzvah is like that. It's just you don't think of it that way. When you are alive and able to put on tefillin in the morning, that's an opportunity and a schus. We don't think of it that way because we think of ourselves as, well, of course, what else would we do? To say Shema in the morning, of course. Why wouldn't we say Shema in the morning? But there are people who can't, who have no ability to put it on, whether it's an ones or something that they actually couldn't do. Either way, these are mitzvos that we have the opportunity. It's a gift. It's a matana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah, put it in our hands, and allows us to get another schus for Olam Haba. Allows us to be able to become greater and to become something better. Sefer HaCharedim says that the Arizal used to say, and this is more so than just thinking of it as a gift, but the Arizal used to say, he told his Talmidim that he was zocheh to every bit of chachma, of his Ruach HaKodesh, of the shefa that he had in this world, everything that he was able to achieve in life was because he had simcha after doing a mitzvah. Now this simcha is not you smile and you have an outward appearance of like, oh man, I got to do that mitzvah. That's not only what simchas a mitzvah is. That's not what he refers to. It means it's a feeling that I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to do this. And when he had the ability to put on tefillin in the morning, and really it's a when he got to put on tefillin, he said, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive to do such a mitzvah. My arm works that I can do such a mitzvah. And there's nothing wrong with me that I can do this mitzvah. I told this to my brother not too long ago, my brother when he was sick in the hospital, and he said, not in the complaining way, but sort of like, why'd this happen to me? Why'd this happen to me now? Like, it was just a procedure, nothing. And he couldn't do anything. What was happening? And he said, now you should appreciate the fact that you do mitzvahs. When you wake up in the morning and you can say Shema, when you can walk around and you can say Matir Asurim and Zokif Kefufim, you should actually feel like, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I appreciate it. We don't usually get that until, unfortunately, a tragedy happens. And then all of a sudden we wake up and we say, oh man, this is what we missed out on. This is what we really had. Only someone who knows what it's like to be blind really appreciates the bracha of Pokeach Ivrim. Only someone who lived a life as a non-Jew can really make the bracha. Baruch tosh amelokeinu v'lom shalos ani goy. That's it. I don't want to go for the woman one. That's too no gay bedever in our world nowadays. But the concept, the idea of feeling appreciative, to think of it as a gift as to where you are, that's what the Arizal said. I felt an inner peace, a different world opened up in front of me every time I did a mitzvah, and therefore I was zocheh to everything. To understand how good it is to be a Jew. This means that every mitzvah that we do, we have to start thinking about them. Thinking about them before we do it. Thinking about them while we're doing it. Thinking about it afterward. That I know we're tired. I realize we're all tired. But when you put on tefillin in the morning, to stop right before you tie that knot on, right before you say, what am I doing? Aside from the fact that I'm tying black boxes on myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm connecting myself with the Borei Olam. I'm allowing myself to be infused with Kedusha, to allow that Shefa to go straight down and to just go throughout my entire body. And we have to work with a Melus to understand not just why we're doing it, which is the Torah that we learn, but how we're doing it, what we're doing in the process. What are these mitzvahs for us? And in that sense, that's why it's so wrong for a person to look for a kula. What does it mean to look for a kula? It means you're not appreciative of the mitzvah that you have in front of you. I don't mean you can't be makel in certain situations. Right, when it comes to a machlokes, Magen Avraham in the Gro, and when to say Kriya Shema Bai. Can you go with the Magen Avraham? Magen Avraham is an earlier time, usually about 40, 50 minutes. The Magen Avraham is a little bit early because it goes from Alos HaShachar versus the Gro. Can you be makel like the Gro? Of course you can be makel like the Gro. But that's not the Shiloh. The Shiloh is, why do you want to be makel? Why are you being makel? Are you being makel because it's easier? Well, then you're missing the point of what the kula is. The whole point behind a mitzvah is to take that opportunity and say, I want to do this correctly. If you're mekabel ol mitzvos, if you're saying to yourself, every shema, which is what you're supposed to do in v'hayim shema, right before you start v'hayim shema, you're supposed to say, kabbalas ol mitzvos, I'm willing to be mekabel upon myself all of the mitzvos. If you're doing that, then there's no shaykhus to having a heter. No shaykhus to finding a kula for yourself. If you're mekabel upon yourself the ol of mitzvos, a yoke of mitzvos, you're not doing it when it's easy, you're doing it when it's hard. That's the whole point of it. That's what you're trying to do. And you either do it correctly or you don't do it correctly. That's the whole point. Now, when do you ask for a kula? When do you ask for a heter? Well, that depends. If there's a situation where something is felt in my doing of the mitzvos, where I want to do this mitzvah, but I'm not feeling it that way, something's bothering that way. If I had to wake up for Vasikin every single morning to do Kriya Shema in the proper time, which is right before Hanetzacham, right before sunrise, if I would do that, my life would be shot. I would never be happy. You think I'm upset? No. There'd be no question. I would be dealing off no sleep. I would be upset at all times. Maybe, right before the clocks change on both sides, then I'd be okay. When Vasikin is around 6:45, right? Sometimes like 7:10. Then I'd be okay. But there's a Simchas HaChaim that's in. But to think to ourselves, when do we say a kula? When do we bring up a kula? It's not to just stomp because I want to squeeze in a mincha or because I want to get in. It's because where is my life holding at that time? I'm going to explain that a little bit further, going the opposite direction. Chumras. When do you bring up a chumra? It's not the way to go to be machmer on things. That's not the way we're supposed to do things. Chumras are used by Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolim to become greater. To make themselves, put themselves on a higher level. Once they've reached the normal level, chumras are only spoken about by the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Tes Zion. That's the 16th chapter. You're past Zihirus and Zrizus and Nikius. You're getting all the way to Tahara to purify yourself. That's when you start taking on chumras. That's when you have a chumra that you can take on for yourself because that's when you're beyond that. And certain people may not ever get there. A chumra, typically speaking, is out gaiva because you want to show off yourself to somebody else, or because of michzi kiyura, because you want to look like you're a bal gaiva. You want to look like you're better than someone else. Typically speaking, that's where a chumra comes from. And in order for that to happen, you have to be there already. You can't just take on a random chumra for yourself and say, here's where I am. Where am I? Now, granted, in some aspects of my life, I might be better than in other aspects. right? In other aspects, when it comes to food, I might be one way. When it comes to learning, I'm another way. So maybe I can make chumras when it comes to learning, when it comes to food, I'll be a little bit more makel. I don't know. That depends on each person. Every person has to decide for themselves where they are and where their avoda is. But if you haven't begun to understand what your regular avoda is, forget about chumras. They have no shaychus to you. There's no shaykhis to getting a chumrah and being machmar on yourself when you should be working on your avodah, your pure avodah. So let's say a guy comes up to me and says, Rabbi, I want to daven a 10-minute Shmona Esrei. A 10-minute Shmona Esrei. We will say that the typical Shmona Esrei is 4 minutes long. Let's say that's the typical Shmona Esrei. Guy comes up to me and says, I want to daven a 10-minute Shmona Esrei. I will tell him, absolutely not. But if he tells me, Rabbi, today I want to daven a 4-minute Shmona Esrei, tomorrow a 5-minute, the next day a 6-minute, the next day a 7-minute, and then build my way up to 10. I'm still going to tell him no, but it's a less reluctant no. It's a less reluctant, because that's at least building yourself up properly to go through. If the guy says, if I daven privately, can I daven for 10 minutes? On my own, without anybody else being in the room, can I daven a 10-minute Shmona Esrei privately? Then I'm going to still tell you no, but I'm going to say, where is this coming from? Where is this? Why do you want to daven a 10-minute Shmona Esrei? What's that about? Is it because you feel that you're roi to daven a 10-minute Shmona Esrei? You're able to concentrate for 10 minutes straight on your Shmona Esrei? Are you telling me that? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that you can't daven a 4.5-minute Shmona Esrei because you want to work even harder on your Shmona Esrei? You have so many things to ask, you're not going to finish it in 4.5 minutes? Or is there something else involved? Is there somebody else that you're... Is it your innate drive to succeed? Is it your desire to become greater? Or is it just your ego and wanting to show other people that this is who you are? And even if you say it's a private Shmona Esrei, are you going to go to other people and say like, yeah, I was late, I'm sorry, 10-minute Shmona Esrei, Zana, you know how it is. Oh, you don't know how it is? Oh, maybe eventually you'll get to my level. Is that what you're doing? What is it? What's the real reason behind it? You see, when you ask a Shaila, the real thing that the Rav is supposed to do is try to figure out where is this Shaila coming from? And when it comes to a hashkafic issue like this, in taking on a chumra or doing something which is an extreme, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing it for? Why? What are you doing this for? Even when it comes to diktuk ha-mitzvos, to make sure you got every single detail of the mitzvah correctly, it's the same way. Are you sure you've gotten to the point where you're having enough simcha sachayim in your life that you could be medaktik in your mitzvos? Are you sure you're there? See, here's what we have to be working on. Are we happy doing our mitzvahs? The regular ones, not the crazy ones, not the crazy ones, not the chumras. Are we happy in the world that we're living in what we're doing? Are we living a life where we're doing things in such a way where I enjoy being a Jew? And if you're not, forget about chumras. It's time to start looking for yourself. What am I doing wrong? Why am I living this life if I'm not enjoying it? What am I doing? That doesn't mean you drop anything. That already is a deal with... That's yish. That's when the Yetzer Hara gets involved. It's more involving yourself. What is this mitzvah supposed to mean for me? What am I supposed to get out of it? My davening in the morning. Why am I coming late? Why? Why is it? Is it because I don't enjoy davening? Is it because davening doesn't mean that much to me? It's not because I'm tired. That's not the answer. Because for anything else, I'll get up. So what's the reason? Why am I not on time? Why am I not doing that to Seder? Why am I not coming to Seder exactly on time? Am I not machshiv something? Is my life better when I'm not at Seder on time? Is that it? How can I change that? It's a totally different view of everything you do, of every single mitzvah that you're getting involved with. And I mean this all the way to the top. I mean this all the way to the biggest Rosh Yeshivas and the biggest Rabbanim, all the way up. You're dealing with people that have chumras beyond chumras because they built themselves up that way. Are they happy doing it? Or is it just part of their life now? It just became part of what they do. And they just are who they are because they've lived their life that way. So how could they change it? Can you imagine, for any of you here, you become a gadol b'Yisrael. You learn so well and so long and so hard that you become the person that everyone else looks up to. You learn for 16 hours a day. You're davening all the time. People emulate you. People want to be like you. They ask you your advice for everything. And you're sitting there at the age of 80, 85, and you're like, I've never really had a good Shmona Esrei in my life. And I'm sure it's happened. Not to gidolim, but to people who are like gidolim but are not actual gidolim. I'm sure there are people who have lived their entire lives without ever thinking about what they're doing and why they're davening. They just kept doing it. And eventually they got the kavod that comes with that. So what's the kavana? Chumras? That should never be your line. That should never be your issue. It should never be about how I can be my... It's about how can I make sure that my simchas achayim is affected every time I do a mitzvah. I'm happy every single time at the opportunity, the gift that I get to do this mitzvah. That the same way that I love it when all of a sudden something comes into my hand that I never expected, I feel the same way about a mitzvah that I never expected. How can I make that happen? That's how things change. And I think that's what I really had the problem with. I looked at this guy, and I felt that although he was being machmir, although this guy was without a question, felt that the important thing in his life is to eat kosher food. Timtum Alev. How can you learn with Timtum Alev? And I knew that this guy had that in his mind, and I know that he meant it in the best possible way. But I looked at him and said, this guy doesn't look happy about it. He looks like he's keeping kosher because he has to keep kosher. And now he has his chumras. And he added on chumras to something that he doesn't really understand why he's doing it in the first place. It's not making him happy about life in the first place. And that's what I felt like when I looked at him. It's not the fact that he felt like he had to ask. It's that he didn't feel like he was into it. And I looked at him and I said, that's so sad. That's so sad. He's probably 10, 15 years older than me, something like that, around that time. He's probably married off about 4 or 5 kids. And he looks like he's never had Simchas Achaim in his life. He's never felt the geschmack of what it means to keep a mitzvah. And when he sits there and he looks, I'm sure he doesn't eat at a place like Dunkin' Donuts. When he looks at Dunkin' Donuts, he says, man, I wish I could eat there, but I won't. But I won't, but doesn't understand why he won't eat there. You have to think about it now. What do you want? Why? Why are you doing this? Why are you considering anything here? What's the point of all these mitzvahs? And start thinking to yourself, how can I build myself up to not only loving the mitzvos, loving the opportunity to do mitzvos, and then allowing myself to take on chumras that are good for me, that are good for me, that will make me an even better person, happier person, a person that lives life because that's the way I'm supposed to live. That's the concept we want to get into. And maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe that guy is awesome. Maybe the guy is absolutely awesome. Maybe he is living an awesome life, and I'm just jealous. It's possible. It's definitely possible. I doubt it, but it's possible. We should at least find it for ourselves. Have a good week, everybody.